Now, Major League Baseball is moving its upcoming All-Star game out of Atlanta. The league says that's because of Georgia's new voting law, which limits who can cast an absentee ballot and strengthens voter ID requirements, among other changes. Democrats and civil rights groups have criticized the law, saying it's aimed at depressing turnout among the state's African-American population. Other major companies like Coca-Cola and Delta Airlines have publicly condemned the Georgia law. That's all prompted Republican politicians at the state and national level to call for boycotts of those corporations and threaten to take away some of their tax breaks. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think businesses should move events or facilities to oppose certain political issues? When a company takes a stance you agree with, does it make you more likely to give them your business? When you disagree with them, does it make you more likely to look to their competitors? Should they face consequences for lawmakers if they criticize certain policies? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Thomas O'Gwin is professor of marketing and sociology and distinguished chair of business at the UW-Madison Business School. Tom, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
We see things like this from time to time. Leagues move big games because of political issues happening in the previously planned location. We've often seen leagues stay quiet. What's your reaction to baseball saying, hey, we're moving our All-Star game?
Well, I'll separate my answer into two parts. One is from two perspectives. One, me is my political beliefs, and one is a marketing guy. From a political side, I'm happy about it. I think corporations, if the courts are going to insist corporations are people, which is ridiculous in the first place, but if they're going to insist that they're people, then and I guess we it's only fair that we should be able to judge them as people and their speech. And I personally believe that there's just no doubt that this law was created to suppress minority vote. And now, from a marketing point of view, boycotts are sort of in the middle of the road in terms of effectiveness. Some are very successful, some are not. They are typically fairly short-lived. People who buy things very habitually will probably go back to their habits at some point. But corporations over the last 30 years have become much more political than they used to be or would like to be. I've talked to many CEOs who said, and chief marketing officers who say, you know, the biggest difference in my job now and when I started or when 20 years ago is that we can't do the Michael Jordan thing. And when he was asked to, you know, run for Congress in North Carolina and Nike didn't want him to. And he said, you know, even Republicans wear tennis shoes. And you know, so it used to be common wisdom that you just stayed out of politics, there are very few corporations who feel that they can do that anymore.
How big a risk is there for companies to take a stance, not just on this issue, but any issue, knowing that, okay, they're maybe making part of their customer base happy with this decision, but they're alienating clearly another part of it? How do they weigh that decision of how much they gain versus how much they lose?
The question. And some companies, and it depends on how strong the CEO is versus the board of directors and all kind of internal politics. So you have, you know, companies where you have a very strong CEO that's a founder or something, and they're just going to say it's a moral issue, and I'm the majority stockholder, and I'm going to do it, and I don't care what you think. And on the other hand, you have a lot of companies who actually try to work out the math on it and hire a lot of public opinion people and say, which way will we get hurt more? And the phrase you commonly hear is being on the right side of history. So what they're trying to predict is, where will the majority of the population in their market be, not today, but in a year, 5 years, companies that kind of played along with segregationists in the 50s and 60s didn't fare well. Companies that softly came out for greater civil rights tended to do better. So there is a sense that if you're on the right side of history, you'll be rewarded.
We're talking to Tom O'Gwin from the UW-Madison Business School about companies taking political stances, whether that's moving an all-star game out of Georgia in response to changes in voting laws, or any big political issue that companies choose to or not to make a statement on. You can join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Republican Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell shared his thoughts earlier this week. Here's some of what he had to say.
My warning, if you will, to corporate America is to stay out of politics. It's not what you're designed for. And don't be intimidated by the left into taking up causes that put you right in the middle of one of America's greatest political debates.
McConnell went on to say he wasn't talking about political donations, and today he walked it back a little bit and said more, you didn't really fully understand the Georgia law. So I don't know. Is this a question about the right way for corporations to get involved in politics, make donations but don't make public statements versus boycotting a state with your event? How do you sort out, Tom, those different ways of corporations getting involved?
Again, good question. Senator McConnell has a short memory, obviously, given their stance, wanting corporations to take stances. And if you really want to go back, the history of the United States and commerce from the Boston Tea Party on has been political. The former CEO of Coca-Cola, back until 1980-something, he ran the company for 80 years or 70 years. Supposedly the guy who talked Dwight David Eisenhower into being a Republican, because Eisenhower didn't know what party he was. Companies have always had some degree of politics, and usually through lobbyists. There's no shortage of lobbyists in D.C. But I think what's happened largely because of social media is that the accountability, the immediate accountability and feedback loop towards CEOs, CMOs, boards of directors is so swift and can gain so much momentum and so much press than a few letters can, that I think you are forced to make some public pronouncements. I understand there's an app. I don't know if it's still around, but there's an app you can get where you can take your iPhone or whatever and look at the barcode on a can of any or a bottle of anything, and it will tell you whether that company has, what percent of their contributions have been to Democrats or Republicans. And you can judge, a bottle of wine, whatever, to find out if they're a red or a blue company. So, I think a lot of people have gotten interested in this topic. I don't think you're going to see a shortage of lobbyists, and I don't think you're going to see a shortage of dark money. But I think the difference will be CEOs and marketing officers coming out of their offices and having to make public statements.
We're talking to Tom O'Gwin, professor of marketing and sociology at UW-Madison School of Business, looking at the response from corporations to Georgia's new voting restrictions, the Republican response to that, and wider issues of when and how businesses do politics. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see companies taking public stances on controversial political issues, maybe moving their business, their events away from certain places based on those issues? Would you rather they stay out, or do you support businesses that do that on issues you agree with and oppose businesses when you disagree with their stance? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation, hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk now with Tom O'Gwin, professor of marketing and sociology at UW-Madison, looking at the response to Georgia's new voting law. Some big companies publicly condemning it, even in the case of Major League Baseball moving an event, the All-Star Game, out of Georgia, and Republican lawmakers telling those companies to stay out of this kind of politics. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts. Let's go to your calls now. Eli is with us in La Crosse. Eli, hello.
Hi. My comment is I don't believe that companies should be making political statements about democracy when they actively participate in manufacture of products in China and other Southeast Asian countries where they are just taking advantage of the population. For example, Patagonia just donated $1 million plus to a quote-unquote charity for to help protect democracy, yet they own something like 13 plants in China that have internment camps in them.
Eli, thanks a lot for the call. And Tom, Eli's not the only one raising this concern. Whether you like the Georgia voting law or not, a lot of these international companies are trying to either make products in an authoritarian country like China or sell their products there. Does this raise concerns about hypocrisy?
Oh, sure. I mean, companies? Hypocritical? You're kidding. Yeah, of course they do. I mean, they do hypocritical things all the time. They'll give you elaborate rationalizations for it. And sometimes they really believe it. But the caller makes an excellent point. I mean, it's hard to stand up for human rights on one issue and support essentially child slave labor on another. And so I think the caller, you know, makes a great point. The world has changed. And I know mostly about the United States, I admit, but the world has changed. Like, in business schools now, there's a lot of, when you teach, there's a lot of attention paid to sort of a more socially responsible capitalism, sometimes called conscious capitalism or something. I mean, there is a belief, which you wouldn't have heard in a business school even 20 years ago. I do think millennials, at least in the United States, millennials and Gen Z kind of expect more moral behavior out of public companies. But you're right. When you go in with transnationals, if you work for a transnational, you will commonly find yourself enacting policies that hurt your neighbors, that hurt your country, that don't help democracy. And I think transnationals are one of the bigger problems, because they don't fly under a national flag or an ideology. They're just a huge company that spans the globe.
Eli, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go now to Scott with us in Madison. Scott, hi.
Afternoon. I find it rather ironic. Wasn't it the Republican Party that pushed until the Supreme Court finally stated that the corporations have the same right to free speech as the individual?
Scott, thanks for the call. Scott, referring to a couple of Supreme Court decisions, Tom, that allowed corporations to expand their donations to politicians and political causes. Do corporations face as much pushback or boycotts and things like that for that political donation they make to a candidate as for a public statement on a controversial issue?
No, because a lot of it flies under the radar, and they don't. Some is reported publicly, some is not. So I mean, it's much harder to track that. I think public statements are just such a new thing for corporations, relatively speaking, that the public is just not, in the United States, is not used to it. Now, they've been doing it in Western Europe a lot longer. I mean, the Brits and the French, their companies were, go back to the, even before the Thatcher era, is being overtly political, but it's sort of new to the United States. Yeah, it's the Robert Reich quote about, I'll start treating companies like people when Texas executes one of them. But I've also met free speech advocates who are liberal, but at the same time have a hard time parsing where free speech starts and stops, commercial speech and political speech. So I don't think that question is necessarily as cut and dried as everyone thinks.
Thanks a lot for that call. Tom, as we wrap up, do you think this is going to be more of a minefield for corporations in the years to come?
I think it's going to be more common behavior. Whether it's a minefield or not depends on how adept they are at it and how commonplace it gets to be for companies. Now, there's some, like, take Coca-Cola and Delta. Coca-Cola is a brand that people are almost religious about. I mean, they're just fanatically brand loyal to Coca-Cola. So I can see this having a bigger effect on Coca-Cola than I can on Delta, because Delta, but you're just another airline. They're almost a commodity. People don't have the same kind of loyalty to airlines as they do to Coca-Cola, which for over 100 years was the most valuable brand in the United States. So, I think it's going to just continue. I think social media will push it further, and I think it'll get normalized.
We'll leave it there. Tom, thanks for joining us again.
Sure, my pleasure.
Thomas O'Gwynn is a professor of marketing and sociology in the UW-Madison Business School. He talked to us about the reaction from some major companies to Georgia's new voting law and the backlash from Republicans who say they should stay out of politics.